Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as a shock transfer update hits us this morning. Also, we'll be talking about this. Look, this is why Rashford should not be coming back to Manchester United. Disgusting reports this morning around Rashford and what we can expect over the coming days, weeks and months. The PR will not all be good. It will be the PR that we're used to. And it will be derailing and destabilising. And I think Michael Carrick is a little bit naive, actually, in relation to some of the things he talks about because he's inexperienced. I don't think he's going to experience anything quite like what he's going to experience over the next few weeks and months if Rashford is part of the Man United team. I think it's going to be a bloody nightmare. And I think that's why some of us have said it's better for everybody if we try and part ways. But essentially, what you've got is pictures of Rashford on holiday. And, you know, unfair, disgusting reporting about him being a party boy and stuff like that. And this is what I mean. The negative side of the press won't all be positive. There'll be negativity there as well because Rashford sells. And we all know this is going to come and we all know it's going to happen. And United are just fucking stupid for thinking this is going to be a good idea. It's going to be a bloody nightmare. And, you know, it will divide the fan base. It will divide the media and it's going to be a bloody mess. And I'm disgusted by what I've seen this morning. But some of the British press is the gutter press. We can all name the outlets. You got a picture of a lad on holiday on a boat with a load of women. And the implication is he's a party boy because you can see the replies. I don't want this Rashford back with it. I mean, he's on holiday. I mean, has anybody ever thought that when you're on holiday, there might be things that you do that you don't get photographed doing that are, you know, players, everybody doing stuff that would make them look, you know, like something that they're not. I just don't want to go back down this pathway at all. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And the only way this is going to work is if he scores every week and plays well every week. And what footballer can do that? So I just think the words I told you so are going to just keep coming out over the next few days and weeks and months, like they did with Mason Mount yesterday. There seems to be a lot of mistakes that United are making where you're just waiting to say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. And that's what happens when you've got crap owners, unfortunately. Anyway, let's delve in. We can talk about that in a moment. Let's talk about this transfer stuff this morning. Now, you don't get information out of Man United about transfers. So all these ITKs, bullshitters who pretend that they've got leaks or info from the club, you don't get it from the club, especially not this summer. If you want information about Man United's summer transfer window, then you need to go and get it from elsewhere. You need to go and get it from agents and people close to players, etc., etc. And that's why some of us have had good summer transfer windows in relation to news. So the big update this morning, and it is new news, is that with 3 weeks to go in this transfer window, literally on Tuesday, there are 3 weeks left. With 3 weeks to go, Man United need to buy arguably four or five, but certainly essentially three players, a backup striker, a left back and a midfielder. Where are Man United this morning? Well, they are definitely, definitively in the we can't decide mode. Which is terrifying, but this is from more than three different places who would definitely be in contact with Man United or have had contact with Man United who are being told we haven't made our mind up yet. Now, read between the lines who that might be, where that might be, but we're talking about agents, players, people close to players who have had conversations with Man United or would expect to have conversations with Man United and are basically getting, we're still making up our mind. So with 3 weeks to go in this transfer window, Man United can't decide on what they're going to do with the midfield, what they're going to do at left back, and what they're going to do up front. They can't decide. Now, to me, that is shocking. To some of you, it might be fine. But that is where Man United are. Now, I'd love to be going, we're in advanced talks with Stiller. Here we go, tomorrow for Alex Scott. I would love to be able to say that. Secret talks with Truffert. I'd love to do that. But the reality is, sometimes the news you get is the truth, but you don't like it. Liam Delap's the priority 18 months ago. It was the truth. Thankfully, it didn't happen. As of now, this morning, with 3 weeks to go, Man United's transfer window, the latest update, as shocking as it is we can't decide. Now, the fear with we can't decide is you don't decide. We'll be all right at left back. We'll be all right up front. We'll be all right in the midfield. So Time is ticking. I firmly believe, and I don't need reminders from you. I said last week, I'm 100% sure we'll sign another midfielder. I still retain that confidence, but time is running out. You know, when you turn up for a date and they, you know, you're meant to meet at 8 o'clock and they're not there at 20 past and you're thinking, well, you know, they could just be running a little bit late. You think they're going to turn up. You've not had a message to say they're not going to turn up. But you start to think, am I going to be? I mean, this has never happened to me, obviously. I mean, look at me as if, you know, people would be there on time, probably early, let's be honest. But time is running out. Time is running out. And look, the Manu Kone update is that we had talks with him. We've not gone back. The Alex Scott update is we'd like to sign him, but he's too expensive. The Lewis Hall update is we'd like to sign him, but he's too expensive. That's pretty much it. That's it. There is no talks taking place with anybody at the moment. But the reason for it within the industry, because the United won't tell you, when you speak to people in the industry, they're saying because they can't make their mind up. You know, you chase them up and they can't make their mind up. They're like, we're still interested, but we don't know. So like we may have held talks with a player. When it's chased up, it's like, we're still interested. We're just, you know, looking at, you know, what it is we want to do. That's what United are doing. Now, why are they doing that? Is it because there's disagreement in the board? Yes. There are certain players that certain people on the board want, and there's certain players on the board that people want, and they don't agree. When are they going to agree? There is also the financial angle, which comes from the top of, do we need to spend? Like, can we get top five with what we've got? That argument's going on as well. And then the third argument is time's running out. If we run out of time, we just have to go with what we've got. So that's sort of where United are at the moment. And it is shocking. And I do believe that we will sign some players, maybe one, maybe two. But who they're going to be at this late stage in the market, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't believe we're going to get the big signing, whether it's left back or midfielder. I don't think we're going to get that. And as has been said many, many times before, the thing that I find shocking about this, because it is shocking, like I'm sure we'll get some bot saying, oh, there's still plenty of time, trust the process. There's 3 weeks left in the window. We've not done 50% of the transfer activity that we needed to do at the start of May. At the start of May, everybody would have said minimum three midfielders, left back, attacker, minimum. We've done two of those. So 3 weeks of the window left. I think 80% of the window is gone and we've still got 50%, well, 60%, maybe even 70% of our window to do. It's shocking. But what's more shocking, the icing on the cake, the cherry on the cake, is that we still don't know what we want to do. How are we in a position with 3 weeks to go where we don't actually know or we can't agree what needs to be done? Strategically, pathetic. Results, pathetic in relation to transfers. But being in a position like this and you still can't make your mind up, absolutely abysmal. And remember, talks aren't taking place. If we were in talks with Sanderberg, Belaba, Tyler Adams, Bergvall, Scott, Kone, Stiller, every one of their agents would be on the phone to Romano or Ornstein within seconds because it's big news. We are not in talks with anybody either. So another big week coming up. Well, there's big news on the United stand on Tuesday. We can guarantee you that. But whether there's big news from Man United this week, I don't know. We have had situations where Tielemans literally came out on the Sunday afternoon. I put the tweet out and on Monday he was a United player. So look, things can happen quickly. But I would imagine that United are going to be very focused on the Dublin tour and the reintegration of Rashford this week. That's always been my assumption, that this week would be PR overdrive because of the return of Rashford. I mean, that's a very big issue for Manchester United, considering over... I mean, look, I can run the poll. It might have changed now that people know he's coming back, but do you want Rashford back? We've done this numerous times this summer and well over half of you don't. So Man United have got a hell of a lot of PR to do this week to reintegrate Marcus Rashford. And we can only do one thing at once. So I don't think we are... I mean, what terrifies me the most is getting to 2 weeks, getting to this time next week with three deals needed and 2 weeks to do them. And United have been resisting panic buys because they've set their own parameters on what a panic buy is. A panic buy to United is somebody over £70 million. A panic buy to me is somebody in the last 3 weeks of the window when you've messed up every other target. Panic buy value doesn't bother me. It's when you're buying that makes them a panic. Now, if we'd been in talks, like Liverpool are going to buy Barcola in the last 3 weeks of the window, it's not a panic buy because they've been talking to him for the last 3 months. We've not spoken to anybody in the last 3 months that we're going to buy in the next 3 weeks unless we buy Kone. So if anybody other than Kone is a panic buy, maybe Scott, but that won't happen anyway. Maybe Hall, but that won't happen anyway. Any deal we do now, unless it's Kone, Hall or Scott, is a panic buy. I mean, as On says, it could be bloody Jared Bowen. It could be Jared Bowen now. You know, he's playing in the Championship. That's the sort of player that United... Sorry, I've just spat my coffee out. That's the sort of player that United could go for now. So look, if you're tuning in a little bit late, the big news this morning, and you might not like it, and you might not like it because you'll go, it's no news, or you don't like the news, or it's not come from some bullshitter who pretends they've got sources in the club. This is from three really good areas, nothing to do with Man United. We're talking agents, players, people close to players who've had contact with United over this summer and last summer, and basically what they're saying is that the word out of United is they haven't made their mind up what they want to do. They can't decide what they want to do. So it doesn't mean we're not going to sign players. It doesn't mean we are going to sign players. But the explanation for the lack of activity for the last nearly month, it's coming up for a month since we signed Tielemans, is they can't make their mind up what they want to do. And my take on that is they can't make up their mind what they want to do because they've missed out on all the targets they wanted. Their contingency plan is shit. The Glazers and Ineos are saying, let's save a little bit more money. And there's disagreement on the board about what they need to do. I think there's somebody on the board saying, I'd rather not buy a midfielder than what you're giving me. Carrick. It could be Carrick. No, I'm joking. It could be Carrick. I think there's somebody on the board saying, I know you're all in agreement with that player, but I'd like someone younger. Vival. I think there's somebody on the board who is saying that let's wait and see how the season starts because there might be a bargain there. Wilcox, you know, I'm joking, but I genuinely think there are, you know, best in class, my arse. I said this when we got these people. Has Wilcox worked with Berarda before? Not really. Has Favell worked with Omar Berarda and Wilcox before? No. Has Carrick worked with them before? No. Even if they are best in class, they've never worked together. They might not be compatible. And I think what we've got here is compatibility issues. One saying one thing, one saying the other, and it slowed us down. And sometimes too many cooks spoil the broth. You know, Favell might be saying one thing that would work. Wilcox might be saying another thing that works. But if they're not in agreement, it slows us down. Like Wilcox might be saying Kone. Favell might be saying Stiller. In that world, are you bothered though? Because if we went and got Kone, I'd be okay. If we went and got Stiller, I'd be okay. But that, I mean, this is just opinion. This is not the stuff I got given. This is opinion. I genuinely think you've probably got somebody on the board saying, we don't need anyone. You've got someone on the board saying Kone. You've got someone on the board saying Stiller. And you've got someone on the board saying, I still think Real Madrid might sell Tchouaméni. And I think we've probably got three or four different things that they're all passionate about. You know, and when you've got four people with four different ideas, who concedes? How do you get unilateral agreement? And I think this is the problem. I think we just can't decide. Because I think at the start of the window, when the plans were in place, everybody probably agreed. Matheus Fernandes, Tchouaméni, Elliot Anderson, Tonali. They probably were all in agreement. But now they've all disappeared. They're probably like, well, we are down to option FGHI. I think we should go for Stiller. I think we should go for Kone. I think we should stick with Mount. And I think that's what's happened. And I am not in any way, shape or form defending the club. But you can read this club like a book. What's the excuse for doing nothing for a month on the midfield or at left back. And I just don't think they can agree with what they want to do. And even if they can agree, they've still got to get a check written from above. So I think it's chaotic. And you know what? It's another nail in the coffin of Sir Jim Radcliffe's bullshit that he's going to recruit best in class and United are going to be efficient, because this is not efficient at all. And it's going to be very interesting. I'm not panicking yet. I do think we'll sign players. The quality of those players does concern me. But I know how quick 3 weeks can go. 3 weeks can go like that. I mean, we're literally, Premier League season starts in two. Once the season starts, that last week will go like that as well. So, yeah. Do you genuinely think we'll keep Mason Mount as Andy? I said this last night. Michael Carrick talks about Mason Mount and says, you know, we've not had many injuries. He had a knock and, you know, we took him off for a precaution. Mason Mount is not prime Kante. We don't need to protect Mason Mount from injury because he's already injury prone and he's not prime Kante. He is an injury prone number 10 who is filling in like a square peg in a round hole in pre-season. Carrick's coming out talking about him like he's fucking prime Kante and we need to wrap him up in cotton wool. Mate, I don't want him in our midfield even if he's fit for the next 3 years. This is, you know, the Mount argument is not just injury. I don't think he's a midfielder either. So, precautionary of a fucking stopgap, mate, sign a bloody midfielder. If anybody out there thinks we should be using Mason Mount as our fourth midfielder, pack up your bags and piss off and go and talk about another sport, because this is going to end really badly for you. Really badly. Mason Mount is not the solution as a midfielder for Manchester United. He won't climb the mountain of injuries that he's going to get anyway, but he's not the solution. And the fact that people think, I'm not saying get rid of Mason Mount, by the way. I think if he's fit this season, he adds a bit of squad depth. Like, if you think, even if Mason Mount gets injured in September, he might be fit in November. And in November, when there's a load of games, you don't know what's going to happen with people like Cunha and Bruno, and you know, maybe they're tired and you use Mason Mount for a couple of games before he gets injured again. I mean, I think Mason Mount for this season, you would want to keep him around when he's fit, yeah, because he can be useful. But there's a very big difference between keeping Mason Mount around the squad when he's fit and then utilising him as a fucking midfielder. No, I think it's ridiculous. But there is a stubbornness to Carrick, which I like. I do like Carrick's stubbornness, because I think as a manager, you've got, and a leader, you have to be stubborn. If you think about people like Sir Alex Ferguson, Jose Mourinho, Arsene Wenger, Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, there has to be a level of stubbornness. But I do sort of pose the question in relation to Carrick around some of the stubbornness he's portraying worries me. Like, this obsession with Mason Mount in the midfield is a risk. It's a risk. He was speaking about Rashford last night and saying how they were teammates and he can't wait for him to be back. That's a huge risk. 70% of you don't want Marcus Rashford back at Man United. Michael Carrick says he does. He might be right, you might be wrong, but it's risky. You know, he's rolling the dice on risk. And he's an inexperienced coach who's never managed in the Champions League and the Premier League at the same time. In fact, he's never managed the full Premier League season as a full-time manager either. He's got an Amazon documentary. He's not been backed in the transfer window. He's talking about Mason Mount as a midfielder. He's talking about Marcus Rashford coming back. I just think he's making an incredible amount of risk and putting a lot of pressure on himself. And look, I don't know. Michael Carrick surely knows what happens when things go wrong, because he was the assistant coach with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So he will have a bloody good idea of what can go when it goes wrong. But what I would say to Carrick is, every risk you take, sound like Sting. Every risk you take, every rule you break. No, every risk he takes, we'll be watching you, because that's what United fans are like. And it won't just be us. He will come under immense pressure if things go wrong. And how the players react to that will be very, very telling. Now, players have already down tools for Carrick. People forget this. Carrick was Ollie's assistant coach. Ollie went into that dressing room against Watford and those players hid. Some of those players are still here. Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Marcus Rashford, Delo, Bruno. Some of these players have played for Carrick and Ollie and Down Tools. So he's putting a lot of risk on himself. And I just think when it comes down, hopefully it won't do, but when it comes down, it will come down on him. And he's going to have to be a very, very, very strong character to come through that. Because if Rashford ends up being a mess, that's on Carrick. If Mason Mount ends up being a mess, that's on Carrick. And then everything else, not being backed in the summer transfer window, will be on him because the results will be on him unfairly. It's a dangerous time for Man United the next 3 weeks. And if I was Michael Carrick, I would want Arsenal's board. I would want Man City's board. I think that we spoke about this back in May. You're bored. You've got a squad. There's four things in a football club. You could say there's 10, but I look at it like this. Well, there's five, isn't there? There's a youth setup. There's a first team squad. There's a manager. There's the board. And there's the owners. There are five elements there that all together make for a great club. If your youth is purring and providing players to the first team, and your first team is purring and winning you games, your manager's purring, your board's helping the team, and the owners are helping the board, everything runs really, really well. And you could argue that Arsenal are doing that when you look at the likes of Dowman and Lewis Skelly coming through, their first team's winning their league, their manager and the coach is doing well, the board are bringing players in and moving players on, and the owners are supporting it. So the Arsenal situation at the moment, those five elements, pillars of a football club are working really well. You could argue that it's working at Man City as well. You could argue at somewhere like Chelsea, there are pillars of their club that aren't working as well as maybe Arsenal. I think at Man United, I don't think the first team squad's good enough, but it's okay. I think the youth could be really good, but probably over the last decade, it's okay. Carrick, leave him alone for a minute. Board, underperforming. Owners, absolute shithouse. So, you know, you look at Michael Carrick in the middle of that, his best place at the moment is probably his squad and his youth setup. And that's not perfect because above him, he's got the board and the owners, and they're not supporting him at all. So it's always important to remember that. A football club isn't just the manager. The manager always gets the blame. But they're the sandwich. They're filling of the sandwich, really. The board have not backed Carrick. The owners are a bloody poison. And then you've got the squad and the youth set up below him. So I think Carrick's got a very difficult job. I really do. I really, really do. And I don't think the board have done a good job, and I think the owners are poison. But having said that, who do you blame? Who do you blame with 3 weeks to go that we can't decide what we want to do? And remember, can't decide isn't necessarily we can't decide between Kone and Scott or Hall and Truffett or Endrick and Tony. Forget that. I could live with that sort of decision. This is, we can't decide whether to buy a left back. We can't decide whether to buy a midfielder. That's the decision. They can't decide whether it's a left back or a midfielder. You know, they can't make these decisions. And look, I was asked a brilliant question last night. One of the best questions of the summer. What's a good season for Manchester United? And I was reading all your comments this morning and last night's video. It's worth looking at the comments on that or put them in again here. I said a good season for Man United is retaining third, quarterfinal of the Champions League and a domestic trophy. Now, that's not the standards we should hold Man United to, but looking at the summer we've had, and you can never predict, but I think that holding ground and going deep in the Champions League with what we've got would be a good season. Sadly, I genuinely think anything lower than fifth is disaster because you're out of the Champions League again. Are we going into this season, honest answers, are we going into this season risking being outside of the Champions League because of what we've done in the summer transfer window? Hell yes. Hell yes, we are. Doesn't mean we won't be outside the top five. But hell yes, we are risking it. There is no doubt in my mind at all. We are risking Champions League football with this summer transfer window. And I think that this is just a constant gamble. by the owners of this football club to try and achieve things on the least amount of expenditure. Ipswich have spent more money than us. As a newly promoted team, Ipswich have spent more money than Man United. So they are risking it. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but they are risking it. And I just don't think that's ambitious. I think when you're trying to achieve something with the bare minimum resources, it's unambitious. It's not good enough, you know? Let me get into your comments. Somebody just said, what's the news on Endrick? Look, I think in relation to Endrick, there's nothing to get excited about. Endrick could be leaving Real Madrid on loan to a Premier League club. I'm sure he would be somebody that is... I'd say Endrick's a bit like Sander Berg. Not in ability, but is Sander Berg on Man United's midfield list somewhere? Yes. I don't think he's particularly high up. Is Endrick going to be on Man United's striker list? He will be there somewhere. I don't know. I don't know whether he's high or low, but that's about all you can say. And also, what I would say about Endrick is, you know the story better than me. If Endrick to Man United becomes a possibility in the next 48 hours, would Man United do that deal? Or would they say, we are interested, but we've got other priorities first? So I just don't think we would move for Endrick because Xerxes is still here and we haven't got a midfielder and a left back. So I just think you follow United and you learn United language. You learn how this board works. And if Endrick was presented to Man United, I think they'd go, well, we've got Rashford coming back. We've still got Xerxes, so we don't know what we want to do with our attack. And also we need our priorities are midfield and left back, and we don't know what we're doing there yet. So I think we'd pass the opportunity up. If I'm being completely honest. Yeah. What's the Rashford stuff, Mark? So basically, I don't want to name the outlets because it just glorifies what they do. And ultimately, by even when you slate a news outlet, they still keep doing it because it's just what they are. So a couple of news outlets in the UK this morning. We know this is going to happen. Like, we can't argue, you know, it's... Somebody said, oh, nothing about Rashford all summer, and then we get a picture of him on holiday. Well, of course we do, because he's coming back to Man United today. So basically, pictures of Rashford on holiday, on a boat, with a load of women. I didn't even read the headline, because sometimes pictures speak louder than words, don't they? And I thought, you know what? I'll look at the replies, and the replies were, I don't want him back at this club. He's just a party boy. He's a piss taker, this, that, and the other. He's literally on holiday. Like, what he does between the hours of, you know, if he's on holiday for 3 weeks, what he does on holiday is up to him. If he wants to go on a boat with a load of women, with his mates, and have a good time, why can't he do that? But this is the problem. This is the problem. Whether Carrick picks him, benches him, or removes him, while he's at Man United, he's probably the biggest story. Because that Man United side is pretty dull when it comes to stories. And what I'm talking about here is traditional media dull. There's no story on Bruno Fernandes. There's no story on Harry Maguire. There's no story on Cunha. These are professional footballers who don't really give anything away from being a professional footballer. Marcus Rashford gives you headlines. He gives you stories because there's all the stuff that's gone on before. There's the whole, he left the club and now he's back. He's the biggest earner. He will always provide news in the UK. And I'm trying to get my words out on this. I don't know what we were expecting. I don't know what the club were expecting. I don't know what Rashford was expecting. This is what I said would happen. And many of you said it would happen. The PR machine starts today. But that PR machine isn't necessarily positive. 70% of you don't want Rashford back. Even if it's 50%, that means there's 50% of our fan base that don't want him back. Ricky doesn't like Rashford as a player. He doesn't want him. You know how passionate Ricky is about Luke Shaw. Imagine what he's going to be like about Rashford. There are people in our fan base who do not want Rashford back. They won't give him a second chance. Even if he performs, they probably won't give him a second chance. There are media that will be looking to find stories on him every fucking day because it's big stories. And because in the past he did the Belfast stuff and all stuff like that, people will be looking at his public life all the time, looking for something. Is he out in China White in Manchester? You know, all this stuff will be scrutinized all the time. And all it does is it fucks up Rashford's life. You know, I feel sorry for him. I bet he had nothing like this going on in Barcelona. It puts massive pressure on him. It puts massive pressure on the team. It puts massive pressure on Carrick. And every press conference, it's going to be, how good is Rashford? Why is Rashford not playing? Why did he take Rashford off? When will we see Rashford? And this is why we should have all moved on. This is why the club are to blame. We should have all moved on for this. The only way this works is if he plays well every single game for the whole season and wins Player of the Year and Premier League Player of the Year. And let's hope that can happen. But it's just noise. Nobody needed this. Nobody needed this. And in a window where it's been absolutely pathetic, we're now going to finish the window off, not knowing what to do, but also with a load of noise around a player that we thought we'd moved on. And I blame the club for this. I blame the club for this. And I have massive sympathy. Well, maybe he doesn't want the sympathy, but it must be fucking annoying if you're Rashford to look at the papers and see stuff like that. But what's going to happen? Is he going to have to do tweets again about new... You know, Rashford's done this in the past. He'll start tweeting or putting Instagram posts out about news articles. Terrible idea. Absolutely terrible. You're just fanning the flames of it. So, I mean... And then we're trying to be a football club and we've got all this noise again. And this is what I mean about the naivety. Michael Carrick starts talking about, well, me and Marcus used to play together. I want him back in the team. That's great. That's absolutely great. But you also have to look at the bigger picture, Michael. There is a bigger picture here that you won't be able to control. We can't control it as fans. Like, there is a nightmare scenario here for everybody, for Rashford, for you, for the fans, for the club. There is a bad situation here and it could go really bad. Hopefully it won't do. But it's also like the Fletcher situation. I tweeted this last night, got loads of interaction. I said, as Man United fans, we should always be backing our youth. That should be the default. We should always back our youth. You look around, nepotism, fuck the Fletcher brothers off. They're crap. I don't even know which one's which. They're not good enough. Get rid of them. This is two teenage kids coming through United's youth setup into the first team. This should be an exciting thing. This should be a nurturing thing. Are the club blind to the responsibility they have to these young players? Because the situation is not good for them. There is very little positivity around the Fletcher brothers at the moment. And that's Michael Carrick's job. That's Jason Wilcox's job. That's the club's job. You have to monitor perception of the fan base. You have to. Rightly or wrongly, you do. And some of the stuff being said about the Fletcher brothers is disgusting. It's really bad. And that is growing into a thing. Their careers at Man United could be over before they've even started because people have made their mind up. And I look at that and I go, how is that happening? If I'm at Man United, I'm aware of this and I'm putting things in place now to change it. Now, those things could be, right, who's the better one? Is it Tyler or is it Jack? Right, it's Tyler. Jack, you're going back down to the youth. Tyler, we're going to focus on you. It's going to be the Tyler Fletcher breakthrough season. This whole Fletcher brother thing isn't working. So you're going to go on loan. You're going to stay here. Those sort of things can rescue the situation. But we seem to be a bit oblivious to giving a shit about perception of the fans. But these stories grow. 70% don't want Rashford back. The Fletcher brothers are only in the team because of their dad. Where's the, you know, pathetic transfer window? It's all a bit of a mess around running the club. They don't seem to understand a lot of things and they really do need to take notice because when things go bad, they get really bad at Man United. And when hopefully we're not going to go down that road, but the whole point of life is spotting barriers ahead so you can deal with them and clear them. United just seem to be blinkered at the moment on a lot of things. And I don't, look, somebody just said, so are you saying the Fletcher brothers are going to be first team players? No. I haven't seen anything from either of them that make me think they're particularly destined to be United first team players. But also, I don't like it. We had it with Chong. I don't like it when players who are young players are hung out to dry by the fan base. I just don't like it. I just don't think it's, you know, what we're meant to be all about. Syndicate says, Rashford is the big signing of the window. He is the right player for us. He knows what it means to be a United player and he's returned. PR will spin this like Ronaldo's return. That didn't go well. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but he isn't coming back to pay rise because we qualified for the Champions League. He is coming back to it for a pay rise, Andy Cheatham. Yeah, he technically does get a pay rise, yeah. Vinny has gifted a membership. All that for that. Godzilla says, I love the channel, and while I've disagreed with a lot of your opinions this summer, I can't agree more on Rashford. Don't understand how he's back. Godzilla, you've just literally explained the channel in a very, very good way. You're not meant to agree. I probably don't say this enough anymore, but in the first sort of 18 months, it was mentioned every show. The whole point in the United Stand is not to agree with everything you hear. It's to challenge yourself. If you hear me say something that you passionately disagree with, we've won because you passionately disagree with it and it sparks your passion. It's about opinion. It's not about agreeing. That's exactly what it's all about, Godzilla. So spot on. Vinny is a new member. Fans versus Rashford increases if he takes Cunha's number 10. That won't happen, Andy. That won't happen. Even I, who don't really have a problem with Rashford, would lose my shit if they gave him the number 10. That would be ridiculous. It won't happen. RPL, welcome to the Members Club. Matthew, someone just said, do you think Rashford will leave Man United before the window closes? Look, there is always the Jadon Sancho situation. Jadon Sancho came back after the argument with Ten Hag in the summer. He was part of pre-season. People were talking about him being a number 10. See, this happens every year. I don't know whether it's the same fans, the same stupid fans, but it happens every year. It's happened with Mount this year. There's always the same selection of stupid United fans who start talking bollocks. Jadon Sancho came back, played pre-season as a 10, and some of our fans were like, we should bench Bruno for him. I think he's a number 10. And people with brains were saying, he's never going to fucking play for Man United again. It's just putting him in the shop window. No, he's a number 10. He's definitely a number 10. We got rid of him. So, look, Rashford could still be getting rid of. 350 grand a week for the next 2 years is a lot of money to pay for any player. If you're paying 350 grand a week for a player in 2026, you would want them to be somebody like Rodri. So it's a lot of money for Man United to pay for Rashford. And I still suspect they would love to sell him. But where's the buyer? I actually think Rashford would love to go to a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, but where's the buyer? So I don't think it's because United wouldn't love to sell him. And I don't think it's because Rashford wouldn't love to go. It's because they're both trapped. And I think that adds to the 70% who don't want him back as well, because none of us are stupid. This is not about getting back together because you love each other. This is about getting back together because you have to. No one wants him. And United can't sell him. So I think he's going to be part of our plans this season, and it better bloody work, because... And he will, you know, there'll be a motivation from Rashford. I mean, I think Rashford's a player that plays for himself very, very well. Not in a selfish way, but I think he's more than capable of, you know, getting a shot off, putting it in the bottom corner. So it's going to have to be, he's going to have to be in the zone, Rashford, definitely, this season. But I just can't see where he would go. If he wanted to go to Turkey, he'd be gone by now. If he wanted to go to Saudi, he'd be gone by now. I just can't see anywhere that he can go. Bayern Munich and PSG don't have any holes. Real Madrid. I don't think Real Madrid need Rashford, do they? I mean, I could see Jose Mourinho taking Rashford to Real Madrid just to piss Barcelona off. I don't know whether Rashford would want to do that because you piss Barcelona. I mean, it seems highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Not impossible, but highly unlikely. Enzo Fernandez, next 48 hours gift from me, says Matthew Fox. I can't see it happening. Carrick is a Glineos puppet, says Adrian. He's probably being instructed to say publicly about how he wants Rashford back. Just another mouthpiece for the club. No, Adrian, I might be completely wrong on this, but I think from day one, Carrick has always wanted Rashford back. I do think Michael Carrick is driving this. I do think this is Carrick. Wilcox was instrumental in removing Rashford. Ineos wanted Rashford out. Berardi wanted him out. So the only person I think who can really be passionate about bringing him back is Carrick. So I think Carrick does want him back, in fairness. The either-or drop-off over the years is awful, says Nugs. I blame the new stadium build. This is the only thing the Glazers want to do. Their objective is to stay somehow in Europe. No aspiration to win. And if it all goes down, another we are in for XYZ player, says Syndicate. Oh, I saw somebody the other day say, this is just a one-off. Next summer, we'll be able to spend big money if we're in the Champions League. And I feel like we're in the Champions League. Why is next summer going to be any different to this summer, especially if we're building a stadium? Maybe this is what we're going to do for the next 10 years. Watch everybody else spend more money. That Kamara from Monaco that people were on about, he's been linked to Forest this morning. What happened to the plan? Now they can't decide, says Une. I think the plan was to buy players that have now signed for other people and now they can't decide what scraps they want to go for. If we're being frugal, it's surprising we're not in for Casado. He's cheap, talented, and Barca fans love him. You just can't beat Pedri, Frankie, and Xabi, says Sean. Few people have mentioned him. Not heard anything about United and him. You'd think Favel would be all over it, though. How do you feel about our spending on non-Champions League seasons versus Champions League seasons? I think it's a bit frustrating that we're not backing Carrick, says Alex. Look, ultimately, it's been going on for a long time. When United aren't in Europe, they spend big. And when they are in Europe, they don't spend. It's utterly unambitious. It's fear of being out of the Champions League for 2 years that makes them spend to get back in. But then when they're in, it's lack of ambition to spend to go to the next level. Basically, we're targeting fourth every year, aren't we? Because when we don't finish fourth, we spend money to finish fourth. But when we're in fourth, we don't spend money. So our definitively factual target from the owners is fourth place. This is the worst window we've had in a long time, says Sean Turner. If they were ambitious, we could have competed. Ineos can't afford to run the club. Leave Rashford alone. I rate him, says Pulp Fiction. I don't think anybody's had a go at Rashford, mate. I think we've been talking about the club, to be fair. I think we've been very, very fair on the assessment of Rashford. I've not seen anybody hating on him at all. I think a lot of people don't like the situation. It's embarrassing, but I don't think people blame Rashford. If United had took 13 million, he'd be running around in a Barcelona shirt. What do you think about Esposito being linked? Do you think it's true, says Andrew? I've not heard anything about that. We have too many stubborn and incompetent people in that board for the club's own good. I'm fuming with this. It's piss poor, says Emily Derry. Board will look at PSG result and say we're okay, says Cameron. Trust the process, not with this incompetence, says Sound Dog. I can't believe we're bringing back a player that doesn't want to be here and Carrick being naive enough to want him back, says Dale. And Emily's back again. She says, how incompetent is this? Can't decide what they want to do. They've had 12 months to plan for every contingency, every option, and they cannot decide with 3 weeks left. What a joke. They should all be sacked. A chimp could do better. And Danny, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. And Forza, I got there in the end, has gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much for that. Not sure why we did not go for Diamande from Sporting, says Giroux. Solid defender, 6'3". Forest got him 40. Shame we are so passive, says Jorro. It's interesting, actually, with it's interesting with teams like Forest because they still, I know they've sold Elliot Anderson, but I really thought Murillo would have been on the move. I really expected him to go to like a Liverpool or we got linked to him as well. So with Milinkovic, Murillo and now Diamande, they have got Glasner. Maybe they're going to play 3 at the back. But look, I think, you know, when you look at the Forests, the Fulhams, the Bournemouths, the Brightons, the Brentfords, they're dangerous teams, they are. I would always expect Man United to beat them, but they're dangerous teams. And if they have better transfer windows than us, they become even more dangerous. I mean, you don't want to be playing Brentford at Brentford on a Saturday after a midweek Champions League game because with the squad we've got, let's imagine we're away to Dortmund, right? Le Mans in goal, Luke Shaw, Deleu, Maguire, Martinez, Santos, Tillemans, Bruno, Rashford, Ahmad, Sesko. 2-2 draw, 3 days later, you're away to Brentford. We can't change Shaw. He could put Mazraoui instead of Dalot. Maguire, Martinez, are you going to really go heaven and Yoro? Santos, Tillemans, all right, you could put Mainoo in there. Bruno's going to have to play. You could put Cunha instead of Rashford. Who's going to play instead of Cesc? Yeah, there's not a lot. And this is what I mean. This is going to happen week after week after week. It's absolutely fine going to Brentford when you both had the week off. It becomes a real problem for this squad when you've just played on a Wednesday night and they haven't, and you're going away from home. And I think this is the conversation some of us are having and some of us are ignoring because we're not used to it. But some of us remember what it's all about. This squad ain't deep enough for what we're trying to do. It's just not. It's not. If United had pulled off Anderson, it's a bad start, Godzilla, along with Tillemans and Santos, a man can dream. Yeah, I'm a bit worried about your first bit. Why not Goretzka on a free? No. No, I don't want another Bayern Munich player in their early 30s who's never played in the Premier League on a big wage. No one else coming for him, says Blackbeard. Can have him rot in the reserves or put him in the shop window, which is the lesser of two evils. He needs a few goals and the fans will get behind him again, says Blackbeard. Look, somebody just said that Man United are already posting about Rashford coming back. Look, I would say whatever side of the fence you sit on, take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Like, we didn't ask for this. Whether you like it or not, the club have decided to do this. And it's on then. So, you know, has it been a pathetic transfer window? Yes. What's the definition of pathetic? Not very good. Why raise your blood pressure on things that are going to irritate you even more? And some of you might be quite happy with it. Rashford would look like R9 in Italy, says Godzilla. Mark Smith, well, thanks for gifting a membership. Thank you very much for that. And how many more signings do you expect this window? Also, are you worried about Maguire starting every game? I want to see a high line and I fear we won't, says Daniel. Michael Carrick mentioned after the game yesterday that he was encouraged by the high press again. That's something we've all noted in the watch-alongs and the match reactions. I think that's one of the positives. One of the negatives of the high press is if people get through the high press, Luke Shaw's slow, Harry Maguire's slow, so half your defence is slow. And they do need to play a high line to make the high press work. So, you know, could you argue we need a left back, 100%? Could you argue we need another centre back? With the absence of De Ligt, you still have Yoro and Heaven who are quite quick. I mean, personally, I wouldn't put Harry Maguire in a back four anyway. Not in 2026. I think I would always be looking at mobility over what Maguire can bring. But yeah. Rashford's at Carrington signing autographs, says Robert. Of course he is. Of course he is. And that's the PR machine up and running, isn't it? That's the good side of it. There'll be the bad side of it as well. I look, my irritation is with the club. This shouldn't be happening. It's embarrassing that we're going, even if it works to a certain extent, why are we going backwards? You know, this was something we'd moved on from and now we're going backwards. Hopefully the club's not going to go backwards. But we'll have to wait and see. Thank you everybody for watching. Make sure you smash a like on the video and subscribe. We are back at 8 o'clock because it is a Sunday. And don't forget, Big News Tuesday is only 48 hours away. Very excited about that. Take care, everyone. 70% of you don't want Rashford back. 30% do. Speak to you all in a bit.